Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play podcast. This week's all NBA chatter, NBA news, scores, some teams that are looking good, and there's some teams that are sort of slipping as of last week. But, yeah, all NBA chatter.
2 months into the season already.
Yeah, it is 2 months into the season, getting close to that halfway point.
Crazy.
So, yeah, some scores that sort of stood out for you sort of last week.
Well, the first one that happened, I guess, sort of early in the week was Dallas knocking off Milwaukee Luka Doncic.
With no Luka Doncic, yeah.
It's only the second time. So it's the second time that they've lost at home, but that knocked off the Bucks' 18-game win streak, which was even a little bit more sort of, didn't really expect that, that kind of game to happen. So, especially in Milwaukee. So that was, a decent sort of game to happen earlier in the week.
Seth Curry sort of went off in that game with 26 points.
26 off the bench, man. Like, I'm really liking what he's doing this year, and especially lately. The last few games that Doncic has been out, but he's been, I reckon he's almost been a sneaky candidate for getting in that conversation for most improved.
Most improved. I was gonna say sixth man of the year, but yeah. Could go on the sort of way, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe not so much. Yeah, sixth man, but I think he's had one of those really good starts to the year. He's sort of bounced around the league a little bit. So hopefully he's found a home there in Dallas.
Porzingis still stepped up in that game, 26 points and 12 rebounds with a double double. So it's kind of scary. I mean, he had to do it in order for them to win, but it's kind of scary if, this is the games he can have. Imagine that those kind of games they can have and then add Luka into that mix. That's what it's kind of scary.
That's right. Like, everybody's now beginning to remember how, what Kristaps Porzingis is.
Yeah.
He didn't get that nickname the Unicorn for no reason. So, he's beginning to be a little bit more consistent. He's been fairly inconsistent throughout the year, coming back off that injury. So, if they get in the playoff hunt, which they're right in, then who would want to face them in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
The day after the game, the main thing that sort of stood out to me, except for that Knicks and Hawks, like, that felt like they were just going to score forever. Knicks smashing the Hawks 143 to 120, but...
Oh, my God, 263 points. Like, who gets 143 put on them by the Knicks?
By the Knicks, yeah. Someone that says it's over, that's what happens. The Pacers...
Karma's come around again.
That's right, Karma's come around again. Pacers knocking off the Lakers, 105 to 102.
That's right. Yeah, that stopped a 14-game road win streak the Lakers. But they didn't have AD in that game. I think he had a sprained ankle in that game. So it sort of had a bit of a wild ending to that game, though. Like, LeBron misses a three. They go back down the other end. Sabonis gets fouled, makes one of two. It puts the Pacers only up three. And then they had, the Lakers still had two more chances to win that game as well. They had a Rondo three. And I can't think of who else had a chance. I think it might have been KCP had a chance to still win that game. Like, it was totally winnable. That was a bit of a blip on the radar, but the Lakers lost two. They've lost two more after that, so they've lost three on the trot now. LeBron has missed the last game.
I don't think it's look, they've lost three in a row, so that's not always good, but I don't think it's cause for massive concern.
Oh, no, God, no. But it's in the game that they lost yesterday. Was it against Denver? I think it was against Denver.
Yeah, it was.
Like 28-104. But it just sort of brings to light a few little deficiency. Well, you know, one sort of little deficiency just in their game when they don't have LeBron, and that's ball movement.
Yeah.
They only had 18 assists on 39 field goals. And that's with Rondo, you know, and Rondo is a really good ball distributor, but yeah, only 18 assists on 39 field goals. So it means there's a lot of, I think there was only two players in the whole team that had double figures. So that's sort of, you know, without LeBron sort of stirring the drink, you know, as they would say, they will have to adjust, you know, their game and get a little bit more ball movement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not sort of talk, I guess sort of not overly concerned for the Lakers and that, but you just touched on the Denver Nuggets. That game put them on six in a row, the Denver Nuggets. So it looks like they've started maybe clicking together. I don't know, but they've won their last six games. So
yeah, they're starting to find their feet a little bit now. They've been I thought they'd been a little disappointing to start the season. Like they were right up there. Last year, obviously, they made the conference semis before they got knocked off by Portland last year. So that, you know, they would have had high hopes of making the Western Conference Finals and if not the finals last year. So for them to sort of start getting the business done now and Jokic start to play, you know, play a little bit better. Jamal Murray's been playing well.
Yeah, Jamal Murray's playing really well.
I think they're missing Gary Harris a little bit. Like he was that sort of third, I guess that third wheel a little bit last year. I don't think he's been as good as last year, but if he can capture, you know, recapture that form, then, you know, that trio along with Michael Porter Jr. that they can't find minutes for. They're looking, you know, they're starting to look a lot better.
They Gary Harris played that game against the Lakers, and you're exactly right. Once he was there, he ended up getting 19 points. So Will Barton, like that, you know, it's talk about teams that are deep. They are a fairly deep team, and they got, like you said, Michael Porter Jr. Miles Plumlee comes off the bench. So they're pretty deep. Michael Beasley got 16 points.
And that's the thing, you know, and Plumlee is a decent, you know, backup center / power forward. You know, he's if he can play pick and roll with Murray or Harris. Like it's a super deep team, and they're starting to find you know, that form that took them to the Western Conference semifinals last year. And I think they were the two seed I think last year. So that with them starting to click, you know, it's just another powerhouse there in the West.
Yeah, one of the many powerhouses.
You know, the top of the West, you know, the top sort of six teams or so is you know, is they're a powerful bunch.
Yeah. Other games, sort of what you were looking at.
Well, finally, the Pels broke their 13-game losing streak in Minnesota, of all places. But they didn't have Karl Anthony Towns, so not really much to look at in there. They only scored 99 points, the Timberwolves, and now they have lost 10 straight, which is rather concerning because, yeah, they started the season on fire.
On fire.
Karl Anthony Towns, you know, playing angry. So I don't know where they're at the moment now that they're there, that they've lost 10 on the trot. They're very much falling by the wayside.
They
unless they can correct it quickly, then the playoffs for them are going to be a far stretch.
I noticed, like, especially the last 1 or 2 weeks, both Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, seem to have that they won't go through a week and play every single game. I don't know if there's niggling injuries or what's going on, but either one or the others just lately have been out, which is concerning, especially losing 10 on the trot. It's very concerning.
No, that's right. And if they can't start to click, or get back to that early season form soon, then those playoffs, the playoffs there in the Western Conference, even trying to get into a 7 or 8 seed, they're going to be a pipe dream.
Just scaling back to the game sort of last Wednesday, the two big sort of doubleheader games. This is another Lakers loss, but the Bucks getting over the Lakers 111-104.
A good comeback by the Lakers in the second half, because they just got dominated in the first half.
Yeah, well, they were down 20 in the down 20 in the first half. I think they were down 20 points in the first half.
I think it's 21 in the first half.
Yeah, good comeback, but I guess it was just in the Bucks sort of for the Bucks. Like it was a good sort of mark to see where they were at the moment. With a powerhouse side. So
I think for both sides, I think they went into the game both 25-4. That was the standard bearer for both conferences. So, obviously it was in Milwaukee. So, they've got the one up on them at the moment. But that was a really good game to watch.
George Hill went off in that game. He got 21 points for only 27 minutes. So off the bench. The other big game was
4 or 5 for 5 from three as well. I think he just couldn't miss.
The other big game was that I pretty much watched most of it was that Rockets and Clippers. Rockets sort of fighting back, winning 122-117 at LA.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Rockets outscored the Clips by 20. Like they outscored them 68-48 in that second half.
Mm-hmm.
That was a decent sort of comeback. We had I think there was Doc Rivers sort of come out and said that that they lost their composure late. So basically he said they pooped the bed at the end of the game. So Kawhi Leonard takes some tough shots.
Yeah.
So often he's gonna have games where he's gonna be a little bit inefficient, but man, when you watch, the more and more that you watch the Clippers play, and I just, I probably didn't watch as much Toronto basketball last year as what everybody had touted, with them winning the championship and everything. But man, he takes some tough shots.
It's like he enjoys shooting those tough shots. I don't know. The same thing. On the other scale, Paul George is taking absolutely easy shots, and he, I don't know why, he gets left open a lot, Paul George. It's always remarkable to me how much either he gets in great position or he just, either they're concentrating Kawhi, I don't know, but Paul George is left open a lot. And, he jacks up all those sort of points. But Russell Westbrook in that game, smashing out 40 points.
Well, season high for Russ, so... Yeah. Only 40 points, but I think he was a main reason for that comeback. Like he was good. He wasn't terribly inefficient, which Russ can be, can be a victim of every now and then. Obviously so can Harden as well. So for him, I think he had 10 rebounds as well. So
He did have 10 rebounds. I'm glad they used PJ Tucker in that game. I love PJ Tucker's game because he is a power forward and he'll go in and get the rebound, but that he can step out to get a three, has a pretty decent sort of shot on him.
You can't leave him open.
No, generally it's always been Harden dribble as Charles will say. Just watching that, they did use sort of PJ Tucker a little bit in that game, which is good because I underrated because he's been there for a long time, but he's I think when they need him, he'll be there kind of thing. So
he's always ready. That's the thing, and you've got to be ready for the ball on that Houston team, because you never know when it's going to come to you. Because like you said, dribble, 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 and you just you don't know when the ball's going to come to you.
But yeah, that was good. I guess obviously a big win for the Rockets over the Clippers, because that's pushed them up to third as of late now in the standings. So because they've won three on the trot. So I mean, looking at those, just before we move on to other games, that top four, the Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Clippers, I don't think that's going to change. I pretty much think that's order will change. Yes,
but yeah, they're probably your four big guns. I'm pretty sure everybody would have thought that Portland would have been up there, and they've actually been playing much better as of late. I think they're only two games under 500 now, so they're starting to mount a little bit of a comeback to try and get into that playoff conversation.
Yeah, I still think they're a piece away. If they're going to make, well, they should make the finals. They're sitting eighth at the moment, so they should make it. But I just think they're a trade piece away from push in the finals again. And I don't know what that is. I threw one out there to a group that Hassan Whiteside, I'm not his biggest fan at all. I feel like he just plays for his contract year and that's it, and then just sort of disappears for those rest of 3 or 4 years. But
a lot of players in the NBA do that.
Well, this is true, but I don't know. I just don't like he plays. And he's come up to his contract here now, and I threw a trade out there that you'd have to add a lot of picks, but Hassan Whiteside and Kevin Love may swap, because Kevin Love wants to go to Portland. He wants to go. That's his home. He wants to go there.
Yeah, that'll be the thing. They'll have to wait and see. Well, that's right, but they'll have to wait and see and see what Jusuf Nurkić comes back like, because if they don't have a Sam Whiteside, then they are a very small team. They don't have Myers Leonard anymore. They'll be playing a lot of small ball, and I think they're getting abused defensively at the moment anyway. But if they don't have Whiteside, because Whiteside's putting up some numbers, like he's putting up some nice numbers. So he's definitely a deterrent in the middle there. So I wouldn't take that for granted either. But they have to wait and see. I think they've got to wait and see what Jusuf Nurkić comes back like.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. He was a big reason why they made the Western Finals last year, I thought.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, a genuine 7-footer. Probably more defensively. They've got enough offensive strike power that they don't really need to use him all that much. It'll be defense and rebounding that they'll need out of him.
Is there any other games you want to touch on before we move on to some news and that?
Well, I reckon we had a bit of a wild Thursday. I reckon it was there. It was the day of the comeback. They had Miami and Philly. It was the game on ESPN there, which actually gave Philadelphia their first home loss of the season. So there's no more undefeated teams at home. But they did the best they could to throw that away. They were extremely dominant throughout that game and kept Philadelphia at arm's length, and Philly fought back. Miami ended up getting the win in the end. Then later on in the day, the Nuggets, they were down 19 to Orlando of all teams, ended up fighting back and getting the win. OKC came from 24 points down, to knock off Memphis. It was just it was it was it was a it was a wild day. Yeah, for those big comebacks. Washington, yeah, blew a the Bulls came from 18 points down in the fourth quarter to beat Washington in overtime. You know, and that's not the greatest of games because both those teams have got single digit wins, but you know, just that day of coming down, just Charlotte against Cleveland came from this is all on the same day, came from 24 points down, but still, you know, it ended up losing. It was like 198, but. You know, these teams getting deep in the hole and mounting these comebacks. Now, not all of them resulted in wins, but just a crazy Thursday that they had there. There was five or six games where teams are coming back from, you know, large double-digit deficits and coming back, some of them actually getting the W.
Yeah, well, there was one. I think we'll talk about it next week. There was one sort of big comeback game with Toronto and Dallas, but I think that'll be next week's game. Massive comeback by Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was too. I think that was that Thursday. And one thing to point out as well, that De'Aaron Fox has returned for the Kings, against Charlotte. So. He had 19 points, 8 assists off the bench. So I don't know what they're going to do there. If they're going to continually bring him off the bench, or you know, play 30 minutes, which is you know, which is a decent hit, you know, coming straight back off an injury. So I thought that was sort of something as of to note as well. I think that was on the Friday. I'm pretty sure that game was.
I think that's good. I think you know. I believe he's their franchise player, so along with Bagley. But I don't mind them. They're easing him back into it. They the Kings are a sort of funny, well not a funny side, but they've got there's that one player that's been playing good while sort of Matt Bagley sort of been out. That Richaun Holmes.
Richaun Holmes,
he's been
really good.
Yeah, he. I've never really looked at his name up until sort of, I guess, this week. But he's putting up some decent sort of numbers. He had that sort of game against Pacers where he put up 20 points and 9 rebounds in only 24 minutes. So they did lose that game, but yeah, he's had a pretty good week, I believe. Especially while Bagley's been away.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's good. It's good for the Kings. Kings depth as well. But yeah, now that they're starting to get guys like Bagley back, come back. Bagley came back last week. De'Aaron Fox coming back this week. So you know, getting two of their stars coming back. You know, for them. Bagley as well. So yeah, still coming off the bench. So. If they can sort of get that decent, obviously De'Aaron Fox is not going to last too long on the bench. Like he's going to be back in the starting lineup sooner rather than later. And again, they're another team that's been playing better as of late. So you know, for them to be able to mount a bit of a playoff push, you know, coming into Christmas and the New Year's to get themselves back in the mix.
Yeah. Another team that's been playing well of late is Oklahoma City Thunder, winning four on the last sort of trot. They we'll talk about, I guess, one big game they won. This will be next week, but they're playing really, really good at the moment. I'm just going to say SGA. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 32 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 32 points yesterday. So
it also looks like Chris Paul sort of not. I mean, I like Chris Paul. I really do actually like Chris Paul. But it seemed that he's comfortable there. Is probably a good way to put it. He's not he's not bitter or anything. Like that's a, like he's playing with what he's got. If you know
he's
what just, I mean,
he's putting up quietly good numbers. Like he's not putting up $38 million numbers, but he's you know he's quietly putting up numbers there and you know to he's the straw that stirs the drink there in OKC. You know he's the guy that's the distributor and you know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is he's the young buck. You know they got Danilo Gallinari, you know, Steven Adams, Dennis Schroeder off the bench. Like you could mount a very strong case for him. Sixth man of the year.
Oh, big time. Yeah. He's definitely up there as sixth man of the year.
He would have to be, you know, in the top two or three as sixth man of the year. Like, you know, we could probably touch on that Raptors game against Dallas. If you wanted to. Like they were down 30 points.
Yeah. In the fourth. It was the biggest comeback in Raptors history.
Biggest comeback in Raptors franchise history and the biggest comeback in the last 10 years in the NBA.
All on the back of Mr. 1 year, $32 million, whatever he signed, Kyle Lowry.
Regular season Kyle Lowry. He's a dangerous man.
You have said that before. Yeah, he it was ridiculous because everyone thought they were gone, but to outscore 42-21 in that fourth quarter, that is ridiculous.
Those quarters happen nowadays. Like you know, unfortunately, like we said all year, you know, the offensive explosion, like you're never out of it. The 30 points seems a hill a little too far to climb. But, you know, for them to be able to come back, against Dallas, who's not, you know, I don't think they're a terrible defensive team, but no. You know, for them to be able to mount that sort of comeback is insane.
Yeah, it was just crazy watching it. So the little snippets that I could sort of catch, it was just like, you know, they were, yeah, it was 85-55. Going into the fourth quarter, I think, 85-55. And, just sort of watching it, like how sort of closer and closer they got sort of towards the end there was absolutely ridiculous.
That was in Toronto, right?
Yeah, it was definitely in Toronto. So you're always having that sort of crowd always, I suppose, does help you in a way.
Oh, no, of course, you know, to be able to do that at home. You can feed off the crowd a little bit. Yeah, just sort of touching on Dallas there a little bit. Their home and away record sort of stood out to me a little bit. You know, they're 8-7 at home, but 11-3 on the road. That's only their third loss on the road. Yeah, 11-3 on the road. That's some crazy
impressive
right there.
It's impressive that you're right. I mean, their home record is, if you look at sort of everybody, I'm looking at everybody now in the top eight Western Conference, and they're by far and away the worst with 8-7. Everyone's like 10-3, 10-4, 14-2, Clippers. So
you think those numbers would be reversed. You know, they would be exactly 11-3 right at home and 8-7 away. But well, I mean, I don't think that's a typo.
On the flip side, the only other team, you're right, they have the best away record except for the Lakers, who are 14-3 away. So, I reckon 14-3 away, that's going in. They did lose their last three games. Those last three games were away, so they were 14-0.
Yeah, they're all on the road.
Holy Jesus, 14-0.
Yep, all on the road. So yeah, that's it.
But yeah, you're right. It's usually the other way around. But which is good. It's good. I think. You've got to learn to play well at home, clearly. But you know, if you can play that well away, I think that sort of holds your team in good stead at the very least. Anyway.
No, that's right. As long as a lot of teams will try. and, you know, float around that 500 mark away.
Yeah.
And then obviously be dominant at home and not lose too many games at home. But if you're around that 500 mark away from home, then you'll be doing very well, especially when it comes to playoff time, because road wins are hard to get.
Moving on to some sort of news. You touched on it before we sort of started the pod, but David Blatt got hired as a consultant for the New York Knicks. Not a coach.
Oh man, they need all the help they can get, don't they? they had a couple of wins on the trot last week, so you know, they're back to their best losing ways this week, except for that demolition of Atlanta. It's I don't know. That's a little bit of a funny sort of hire. Like, you know, he's been hired as basketball operations consultant. Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah, just say what does that actually mean?
I don't know. Does Steve Mills need some help? Does he need that sort of, you know, outside looking in? Now, you know, David Blatt is on the inside. Well, those two are friends. Like, those two went to Princeton together. You know, played basketball together there. For Princeton. So, yeah, it's not as if David Blatt hasn't been, completely off the radar the last few years since being unceremoniously sacked by Cleveland when they had, I think they had the second best record in the East. Before he was sacked, which was one of the most bizarre sackings I can remember. When he was let go in January of 2016. But he's been coaching in the Turkish Super League lately.
Yeah,
he's been coaching in Greece for Olympiakos, which is a big basketball hub in Greece.
Yeah.
So it's not as if he's been completely and totally away from the game. So,
unfortunately, they need
all the help they can get. The Knicks.
And unfortunately, I guess once I sort of I found out about it and I sort of digged more into David Blatt, I didn't realize he's been contracted with multiple sclerosis. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that'd be why he's given the coaching up, and he said that he's not going to be coaching anymore, so he can just be based. He can be based in New York.
So that and sort still of makes be able to do sense. His
role there.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. I just I guess because he'll need all the doctors, you know, probably, you know, New York's probably going to have the best doctors, but yeah, I guess that when I sort of read that, I thought, well, you know, what's he going to sort of do? Because he's probably going to be in and out of hospital. I mean, all I think is what the name that they've given it is that he's an outsider looking in, possibly, yeah, and just sort of giving help when he needs to. I'm not sure, but they need all the help they can get, like you just said. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you know, he's it's not as if he was, you know, he was a terrible coach either. Like, you know, he's got a good reputation, and that's what I mean. Before he was unceremoniously dumped at Cleveland, so hopefully he can help the Knicks out in any way that he can. You know, whether it be, whether it be looking out for free agents next year, trade possibilities, getting a good look at young kids in the college ranks and even internationally, just any way, shape or form that the Knicks can try and turn this around. You know, what are they, 7-22? So then they need all the help they can get. You know, it's looking like they could be getting another top five pick again next year. So we'll see what impact he has, you know, just in that sort of regard, to helping the Knicks and his friend Steve Mills out.
Imagine if they get LaMelo Ball. That'd be hilariously awesome. Yeah. LaMelo and RJ Barrett. That would be Oh, that could actually be not too bad, really.
Well,
But anyway.
that's right, you know. But yeah, well, I think that you know, somebody of that sort of caliber, you know, the young kid James Wiseman,
Wow.
who's decided to
Yeah,
leave
let's touch
the
on him.
Memphis Tigers.
Yeah. So yeah, let's touch on him. I wouldn't say he's a consensus number one draft pick, but he's definitely in that conversation.
Definitely out there.
Yeah, so he's decided to leave Memphis, and I think sign with an agent, so he's working towards being eligible for the draft.
He's
But
preparing for the draft now, yeah.
I've never seen someone that leaves a college team sort of, you know, well, not even halfway through. It's only at the start of the season, I suppose. But
He only played like four. I'm pretty sure he only played like four games.
So he's played now over only after 3 games. So, you know, this is all stemming from this illegal NCAA benefit apparently that his family received. But
Oh,
and Penny
that's
didn't
what I mean.
care.
Like,
I love the Penny deal
no, well,
deal.
that's the thing. Yeah, Penny's Penny. But you know, if you don't sort of know the backstory, then years ago, before Anthony Hardaway was the coach of the Memphis Tigers, he helped out this young kid, and his parents gave them $11,000. I think it was $11,500 to help them move to Memphis. To I think James Wiseman went to high school there, and then obviously Penny gets himself the job as the head coach there at Memphis. He gets recruited there. So in under NCAA rules, that means that Penny Hardaway is a booster. So yeah, he was suspended. I think he was meant to, but his suspension was he was meant to come back sometime in early January. He was meant to be suspended for like 12 games or something like that, along those lines. They bucked the trend a little bit, that the NCAA were going to enforce these sanctions earlier in the season. They said, no, F you, we're going to keep playing. And then, yeah, then they ended up giving up and making the making Wiseman sit.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, yeah, now he's in the middle of his suspension, and he's just gone, nah, I'm out.
Yeah. Which, to me, looking at, I guess, sort of the bigger picture, not so much for him, but I don't know, the college, you know, if you look, well, you know, we touched on LaMelo Ball just before, and even a couple of players that have gone on sort of overseas. I think the NCAA aren't as, I want to say powerful because you'll still get a lot of players that'll go to you like your Dukes, your Kentuckys, and all that. But
Well, that's right.
they, you know, they, I don't think they think they're as big as they think they are, if that makes sense.
Well, all they need now, all that needs to happen is more and more top recruits giving up the opportunity to go and play at those big programs, you know, like North Carolina, you know, like Duke, like, you know, even Gonzaga at the moment are a big program. And yeah, and forego, you know, Kentucky foregoing that opportunity to play under those good coaches, and playing overseas, you know, whether it's going to Europe or coming here to Australia.
Yeah. Well, why not? You know, you're playing against grown men. They're making money because, you know, you're not going to get money in the NC in the college sort of system.
Right.
And
They could still go to the G League, but you know, the G League pay scale is pretty poor. So they would probably make a little bit more money coming to, you know, coming to places like here, because if they're a highly touted recruit, they would get an all right salary. So, you know, and push their development along a little bit. Like you said, you know, they're playing against men, you know, not
yeah.
playing against guys that's their own age. The fallback is, if you do go to these bigger schools, then it's the coaching, and it's the getting a feel for the atmosphere for full arenas.
Yep.
And if you're good enough, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So there's pros and cons for both.
There's pros and cons. There is pros and cons, correct. There is definitely pros and cons. But, yeah, we'll see how James Wiseman plays out. To me, it was unexpected. I didn't expect that to happen, but I don't think he sort of was left with any choice, possibly. But
I don't know if this is going to help or hurt his draft stock. Like, people have seen him, but it's only for three games. So I think, you know, as a young man like that, I think for him to play, more, I think, you know, so people can get a good gauge of what he can do. It's, you know, even though, like I said, it's against college kids, then that's just a natural progression to move along to the NBA, a la Zion Williamson.
we'll talk about him next week. I actually got some thoughts on him again. Anyway,
he's participating in shooting. Yeah, he went to the Milwaukee game that the Pels sort of got blown out a little bit early in the week. Not that. He was at Golden State. San Francisco. And participating in shooter rounds, which is a game that, once again, New Orleans, you can't lose to Golden State. Anyway, he was participating in shooter rounds there, so he's getting, you know, full load bearing workloads put on him. So a return, or not a return, but a Zion sighting in a Pels uniform in the regular season could not be too far away.
So moving on to some other news, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, the game, the Wizards were playing the Philadelphia 76ers, and I think it was in the fourth quarter. He's gone into the crowd after his sort of free throws. And basically what stemmed from it is that the two fans yelled FUB three times, purely, and this is all over, that if, I think at the 76ers in the fourth quarter, if you miss two free throws, you everyone gets a Frosties, which is a Wendy's ice cream. I thought it was a beer, which would have been awesome. But anyway...
We would have thought it was a nice frosty cold beer, but a frosty in the middle of winter in Philadelphia, like, sounds delightful.
Yeah, I don't know what these fans are thinking, but he's politely, and he has walked into the stands, which is, and I guess an NBA player. Well, not I guess it is an NBA player. No, and just confronted the guys.
why would that be?
And they just said, you know, sorry, we didn't mean to be disrespectful. And then they said, sorry, I just wanted a Frosty.
We didn't mean to be disrespectful, but yeah, they yelled out, F you, bitch, three times.
Three times.
But we didn't mean to be disrespectful.
Yeah. And gave them the double bird
Double birds. Yeah, double birds the lot. Like, yeah. Oh, but we didn't mean to be disrespectful. I call extreme BS there. They just didn't. Yeah, they obviously would have been a little bit shocked that they were seen and recognized by Isaiah Thomas, and he actually approached them, and yeah, they kind of pooped all over themselves when he actually come into the crowd.
And then they end up now getting 12 months banned from the 76ers games, and their season tickets revoked. So. On the flip side, Isaiah Thomas got suspended two games. I guess it's unfortunately, while I see, yes, a player cannot go in the stands, even though as calm as he was, and he was very calm. He didn't do anything. He didn't throw. He didn't yell. He just sort of looked at him straight. So he wasn't sort of too happy with that. With a tweet, he used some expletive word. After getting fined, but...
So angry after the fact.
I see both sides. I see, yes, at the end of the day, an NBA player can't go on the stand, so that deserves a suspension. But on his, he didn't want to be disrespected. He's, he's a man first and foremost, and he said he didn't need to be yelled at like that, regardless of you know why they did it.
No, I get it. You know, fans being fans, you know, they probably had a they would have had a skin full of beer.
That
looked
wasted.
They were younger people, and I applaud him for going out there and you know and calling them out. These people that do that need every now and then, because they think they're anonymous. They think that they can, you know, just because that they've paid their ticket money, that they can do whatever the blue hell they want. And it's just like, no, it's within reason, you know, be a fan. Don't be a turd. Like, you know, just be a fan.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's against the Wizards. Like, come on.
It's just. All over,
you know, I've never had a Wendy's Frosty, and I'm sure they're delicious, but, you know, do you need to go that, you know, that sort of, you know, bat bleep crazy just over a freaking Frosty? Well, come on.
Like you said, I mean, it was in the middle of the freaking, you know, this is Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is consistently cold during the winter. So they want an ice cream during winter, but... Anyway, that's ridiculous.
If it was a cheesesteak promotion, now we're talking.
Everyone would be going crazy. Well, like we said, if it was the actual Frosty, like a beer, okay,
that's right,
maybe.
Frosty beer, you know, going, next time you come in, get two for one or something.
But at the end of the day, there's plenty of ways to put someone off anyway, instead of saying, you know, saying bad things and, you know, giving the finger. Well, the finger I get, you know, that's nothing bad, but that saying words is...
I think it was the repeated, you know, F you. Yeah, you've basically cost us the Frosty, you nasty little man. So,
you nasty little. The only other thing I want to touch on with news was how absolutely crazy the packed out Boston Celtic crowd went when Taco Fall.
Oh my god!
His debut game. it was probably the best thing I've seen, honestly, this year in NBA. He is just a cult phenomenon in there.
The 7 foot four Taco.
They were cheering his name. If you watch it, you can watch, there's 1,000 clips online. But Brad Stevens is everyone knew that he was just, like, kept saying Taco, Taco. And then Brad Stevens has, like, done this to the crowd to sort of keep and get them hyped up. And the crowd went ballistic. And then he's just looked at Tark and went, all right, let's go. And then they just went ballistic again. He couldn't get in the game yet. He had to wait in the game. So this is a 7'5"?
Is he 7'5", I think? Yeah, he's 7'5". I think he's a little bit taller than Boban.
The 7'5" person had to sit on the ground while he was waiting, and usually when you get the player sit on the ground, you know, like they're just in the halfway to the line and they're just sort of waiting. When he sits on the ground, his feet were touching the sideline, so he had to sort of crouch up before he got into the game. But when he got in the game, it just went ridiculous. It was so loud. Like, you'd think it was an NBA Finals game. It was so loud.
Everybody loved him.
He did pretty good, obviously. He didn't do bad. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't, like, set the world on fire either, but...
It's nice to be 2 inches from the basket.
Yeah. before we move on, there was he has a very good, impressive stat line. Just to throw a crappy internet stat out there. So he's only played 11 minutes of court time. He's already boasted 13 NBA points, which average 1.21 points per minute.
Uh-oh.
That's better. That scoring rate is the best in. He's the best in the entire NBA, ahead of second place James Harden, who averages 1.03 points per minute. So he is the best points per minute.
Unfortunately, James Harden plays 40 minutes a game. So
he still leads. Who cares? He still leads. Well, 1.21 points per minute.
Yeah. If Brad Stevens was big into analytics, he should take advantage of that and start playing him 38 minutes a game.
Yeah, that'll go from 1.21 to 0.0003.
Yeah,
0007. That was it for me. That was the end of the news that I sort of wanted to touch on, purely because it was hilarious.
Well, no, that was pretty crazy. That the one little thing, well, not really a little thing, but yeah, sort of one thing that has reared its ugly head again, that the NBA are now sort of coming out to say that they're definitely pushing forward with this proposals of the 78 game schedule. They're looking at making or putting in place $1 million per player prize for this supposed in-season tournament that they want to try and have. Yeah. And obviously the most ridiculous idea on the face of the planet going around right now is the play-in for the 7th and 8th spot between the 9th and 10th teams, which is just the most ridiculous idea. Like that's circulating around now. That's just pure lunacy. Pure lunacy.
When you did bring up sort of before we get on the pod, they're looking to sort of bring the tournament in the next 2 years, but just to sort of coincide with the league's 75th anniversary season. But at the end of the day, just reading of what they want, at the end of the day, they need 2/3 of the teams to vote yes and the Players Association to agree. So
that's not going to
happen.
They think they're going to get that done anyway. In 2 years? I doubt it.
I mean, it's not even that if they get it done in 2 years. I don't know if teams are going to agree to it because they're trying things. So I sort of get it, but on the flip side, they keep changing all what they want to do because they're trying to appease, some of these games that count towards regular season games, things like that. They're trying to appease or get the votes, so to speak.
Yeah, that's all well and good. You know, the in-season tournament, we'll have to count towards regular season wins. But the thing that just blows my mind is you've got two conferences that have got 15 teams in it each.
Yeah.
8 teams make the playoffs. So that's more than half. Now you want to include 9 and 10 for the opportunity to get in the playoffs. You're just rewarding mediocrity. That's all you're doing, whether it's a one-game playoff or whatever it is, just based off, just based off last year's playoff standings. The Magic finished 2 games above 500, 42 and 40. The Pistons were 41 and 41. So essentially they would go up against the Heat, who finished 39 and 43, so 4 games under 500, and the Hornets were the same. So you're rewarding 4 games under 500 with a possible chance for getting in the playoffs. No. No.
Totally.
There's only a small discrepancy. There's only 2 games discrepancy between those teams. The Western Conference, the Spurs and the Clippers both finished on 48 games. The next closest were the Sacramento Kings, who finished 9th. They were 39 wins. So they're 9 wins worse. And you're telling me you're going to give them an opportunity for a one-off game to knock off one of these teams to get into the playoffs, to go and play a number 1 seed or a number 2 seed, which would have either been Houston or Golden State, to absolutely destroy them. It doesn't make any sense.
What does it remind me of? Baseball. Baseball do something similar too, don't they? I think they do something where a play-in game for the final playoff spot. I think they do something similar to that.
They play wild card games, but because it's like the NFL. It's divisional winners and then the 2 best after that. It's going to be very, very rare that your wild card winners are going to be sub 500 teams, and that's what this is doing. you know, it's there's only six playoff spots in each division, or sorry, in each conference for the NFL and for Major League Baseball. 16 teams out of 30 are making the playoffs in the NBA.
Yeah.
Only 14 teams don't make it. Be better.
Yeah, exactly. And then to me, if that ended up happening, then what happens with the whole, they'll have to change the way the draft system works. You can't go in the lottery then.
What happens, what happens to their draft status? Say if, you know, the Spurs or the Clippers, last year they won 48 games. That's fantastic. And they could, you know, if they get bumped in a one game situation, what happens in the draft end? Do they get themselves in the lottery? What happens if like a 1% chance of getting the number one pick, you're a 48 win team, and you could slide inside the top five.
Yeah, and like, it can
how
happen.
How was that
Look
fair?
Look what happened last year. Happened last year. Lakers.
Yeah, how was that fair to those teams that have been terrible? Yeah. And then a team that's got 48 wins could come in and steal a top five pick. It's crazy.
They do have a before we finish up. They do have a unusual supporter with it at the moment in Doc Rivers. He likes it. So I actually do like it. Some teams have injuries all year. Some teams are getting hot at the end of the year. I don't think the number one seed wants to see the better of the two teams in. The biggest lie in NBA history is when you're the ninth seed and don't make it. Literally every coach will say, man, we really didn't want to see you. That's a lie. They actually did want to see you, but they make you feel better.
Of course. Every team wants to play playoffs. But
that's why he likes it. But
every team wants to. Oh, he's going to be in the upper echelon of playoffs now anyway for a little while. What the hell does he care?
That's right. Well, that's why, because I think he wants to face the ninth seed instead of like the hot team that comes in, the A seed. That's what he's sort of getting at. So he likes it for that idea. I agree.
You can't give teams that are 9 and 10 in your conference. So it's essentially only 14, 10 teams are within shot of a playoff berth. More than half your conference gets in anyway. That's ridiculous. That's hand a ribbon out to everyone that finishes, you know, that finishes a race.
Participation ribbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, remember them? Let's make everyone feel good and give a participation ribbon.
Here you go, Lakers. You won 37 games last year, but we'll still give you a chance to make the playoffs. Like, nothing would have happened last year anyway because they didn't have LeBron. So they would have got waxed in four games by Houston. So it's just...
I agree, that is
frustrating.
I do
that's not the answer to making the regular season more interesting. Make the eight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Make the eight. Before we finish up, I guess a little bit of breaking news. The NBA are looking into investigating complaints that Kawhi Leonard's uncle, Dennis, asked Clippers, Lakers, Raptors for improper benefits during free agency. Classic Uncle Dennis reportedly asked for improper benefits at the time of ironing out any potential signing. I read into that what you will, but apparently they're investigating to see if anything was done illegally. So,
Uncle Dennis looking for them under the table deals.
I just love the name.
Kawhi's not going to ask for him.
No, of course not. I just love the name, Uncle Dennis. That's so
Uncle
good.
Dennis. Shifty Uncle Dennis. Look out.
It just sounds weird. Like, it sounds. I'm not going to tell you what I think it sounds like. It's probably not really nice to sort of say, but it's just, you know, when you hear the words Uncle Dennis, something else pops out of my head, and it's not very pretty.
No,
but anyway.
He's doing something else.
Unless you got anything else, that'll sort of do it for us.
No, not really. Just, you know, James Harden just continues to roll on with his insane scoring spree. So, like I said last week, he's in the mix. He's in the mix to make over 400 triples this year. So it's going to be at a crazy percentage. But just the Harden train rolls on.
Well, that'll do it for the NBA sort of podcast this week. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter at the Final Play Pod.
All righty. Well, it's coming up to Christmas, so enjoy everybody's Christmas / Boxing Day NBA. Five big, massive games on that day. I will be finishing work in the morning, and I will be enjoying those latter games. So that will be fun on Boxing Day morning.
I'll catch the morning games, then I have to go somewhere else. But I have Foxtel on my phone ready to go. So right, I'll be watching on the slide. I don't care.
Foxtel, go, baby.
have a good NBA Christmas season, everyone. My name is Jason.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and we shall see you for our next little bit. Yeah, we'll discuss those Christmas games.
I can't believe you got through that whole podcast without mentioning LA. So,
oh no,
that's great. But no, done.
No. We're LA. Oh, we're next done. Week. Next week.
See you, everyone. Peace.
Hurry up.